Hello, everybody. Mike Rains here. Another El Lobo solo pod. This is probably the last one of these we're going to be doing for a while because my schedule will be open on Sundays because football's over after tonight. Go Pats, or they probably already got crushed, or they won the Super Bowl. You'll know that by the time you hear this, most likely. But anyhow, that'll get me open, and that's when I can coordinate better with the crew, and we'll be back to the three-man pods, maybe four-mans. It'll all work itself out, I promise. But today I wanted to do a Pizzagate 101 sort of introductory to the conspiracy theory and why everyone's freaking out about it right now. I mean, there's so much to go on about the Obama ape thing and all, and the Olympics and the athletes speaking out and Vance getting booed. We'll try to get into all that in the next episode, but I just see people talking about Pizzagate, and people have been commenting on my posts and saying stuff like, what is this video you speak of? What is Frazzle Trip? What are these clowns talking about? So what I wanted to do today was to talk about what Pizzagate actually was, its origins, and kind of give a quick explainer about all that kind of stuff. So 2016 presidential election, and I know this sounds really strange, but there was a time in American history where Donald Trump didn't have a death grip on our political discourse in this nation. And in 2016, when Donald Trump was the Republican candidate for president, basically the other candidates that mattered, Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz, they were kid-gloving Trump the whole way because they just thought he was going to blow himself up. They thought that he was driving too fast and he was going to hit a wall and that was going to be the end of him. And then they were going to go around the wreckage and one of them would get the nomination. And that was the thing, is that they didn't want to offend Trump's voter base that was supporting him and helping him win or come in second or third in these primaries. They wanted to keep those people happy, and they wanted to basically be there for them when the inevitable Trump flame out happened. And Trump was this habitual line stepper. He just kept saying terrible shit. And it was thought that this was going to catch up to him at some point, when he mocked a disabled reporter, when he talked about how he enjoyed his military heroes who hadn't been captured. Then people were like, oh my God, this terrible thing Trump said. And in the end, it didn't change the trajectory of the Republican primary at all. Trump remained very popular, and he remained the guy to beat. And it was only way too late in this process that Rubio and Cruz realized, oh shit, this guy isn't going to implode. He isn't going to destroy himself. We actually have to start throwing punches at him. We actually have to start taking this guy down a peg or two, or he's going to win the nomination. And they didn't get there in time. They fucked it up. And so that was it. Trump was the nominee. And then smash cut to October, and the Access Hollywood tape comes out. And this was what the Republican primary was leading up to. This is what Rubio and Cruz and everybody else thought was going to happen to Trump earlier. And that is a piece of audio, either from a rally or from Trump's history, comes out that is so discrediting and so damaging that it actually ruins his campaign. And if the Access Hollywood tape had come out before Super Tuesday, it would have ruined him. It would have made it very obvious to Republicans that this, we can't back this guy. He's going to get crushed by Hillary. We have to move off him. He's basically admitting to being a rapist. Like, this is a bridge too far. And that's one of the things I always like find so interesting about history and the way the world works and all that kind of stuff, is just the butterfly effect of everything, how nothing is set in stone. Everything is happenstance. And there was no one who was holding on to the Access Hollywood tape. I don't know how it got released, but if it gets released a few months sooner, Donald Trump is a footnote in history and not this guy that has spanned over a decade being literally the driving force of American politics. And it's just wild to imagine that, but that's just the way everything is. And so the Access Hollywood tape comes out, and now the Republicans are fucked. Because, I mean, Trump's losing to Hillary in the polls the whole way. I don't know if they've had a debate yet or not, but he loses the debates to her. He's this sort of long shot candidate anyways, but the Access Hollywood tape, that's the death blow. This thing's over. Like there are like behind the scenes discussions where people are talking about him dropping out, Pence limping across the finish line as the nominee, Steve Bannon saying, fuck that. We're going to put our heads down and we're going to keep fighting. But how does this candidate who is already losing now get hit with this massive attack upon his campaign from his own mouth? A terrible thing he said and it was indefensible. How does he get away with it? How do they get the media to sidestep it? How does this not become the crystallizing issue in the dying days of the campaign for president? And the answer is the release of the Podesta emails by a Russian group like Fozzie Bear or something like that. And they smuggle this information to WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks publishes it. And there we go. And the Podesta emails are incredibly boring. I've said this a million times, but it's the truth. There's really no there. And the mainstream media mostly looks at the emails through the lens of, ooh, the Bernie Hillary feud, the factions. Like, ooh, look at what this DNC staffer had to say about Bernie. And it's this thing where it's like, yeah, the people that run the internal operations of the Democratic National Committee probably weren't very happy with an independent candidate running under the Democratic banner for the nomination for president and probably did give that guy the cold shoulder and all that kind of stuff. But that was what the mainstream media was going with, and they were breathlessly reporting it. And WikiLeaks was selectively dripping out the emails. And that was what made that a story that had legs, whereas the Access Hollywood tape was just literally, Trump says a terrible thing, boom, there it is, it's done, it's over. We now have to digest the fact that if you're voting for this guy, you're voting for a dude that thinks that sexual assault is cool when you're popular. And that's really what it's just so frustrating that people had the ability to take their eye off that ball and that Tony Podesta's rigatoni recipes were so interesting and fascinating that the media was able to harp on that as we got close to election day. And this is where Pizzagate comes from, because while the mainstream media is talking about the normal real things in the emails, which again are mostly the stuff they're talking about is mostly just DNC staffers being mad at Bernie Sanders and maybe talking some shit about Trump. What the Pizzagate people do is they start digging into this stuff and they start finding turns of phrase or statements that they find perplexing or offensive. Because they want to find things that are offensive. They want to find something conspiratorial in the emails to make this out to being a bad thing. And so they link John Podesta to a place where they did a fundraiser, Comet Ping Pong, and they create this false narrative that the emails contain code. And that if you break that code, you will determine that they are running a child trafficking ring and it's headquartered out of Comet Ping Pong. And this is obviously ridiculous. And then we had Jack Posobiec go to Comet Ping Pong and start like live streaming himself. And he starts crying and pretending like he's seeing children getting just yanked off the restaurant floor to be dragged down to the basement to be drained of their adrenochrome and all that kind of stuff. And then they kick Posobiec out because he's making a scene and being a weird baby. But there's really no there with Pizzagate. The entire point of Pizzagate is to just make shit up to smear Hillary Clinton to try to help Donald Trump get elected president. And that's it. There's no bigger objective to this. They're not trying to root out child trafficking. They're not trying to do anything. They're just trying to win an election by any means necessary. They just want to hit her with this terrible claim and be like, hey, Hillary Clinton's a pedophile. We don't want Trump to say that directly because that might be a bridge too far. Even though, I mean, he did say that Obama was born in Kenya and all that stuff and wasn't legally allowed to be president. But they want Trump to be at least a little distant from this. Like Michael Flynn and that level of grifter are the people that are pushing Pizzagate. And so what is in the emails? And I will try to re-up the Pizzagate series that we did on the pod earlier. But the main two emails I want to go over here really quickly is one, the one that's in Out of Shadows where Liz Crokin has a fit because she talks about how John and Tony Podesta are talking, they're sending emails back and forth to each other, and one of them says to the other, do you want to get pizza for an hour? And Liz Crokin is like, oh my God, who gets pizza for an hour? That's obviously code. And this is the thing, is that none of that makes any sense in the context of the email, nor in the context of human trafficking and sex work. In the context of the emails, Podesta says this, and the replies are about how John's getting hand surgery, how they, one of them might have to go to Somalia for some sort of foreign policy thing. And it's very obvious that they're not being able to effectively coordinate this lunch that they want to do because they're busy people in the middle of this campaign and all kinds of stuff is going on. So they can't squeeze in pizza for an hour. Now, the thing about the pizza claim is that 4chan had, for the longest time, used the term cheese pizza as a very weak code for child pornography because it has the same initials. They would say things like Captain Picard and stuff, and anything that had the C and the P, that was the whole point of it. Like, someone would be on a Chan board at like 4 a.m. and say, hey, mods are asleep, time to post some Captain Picard or post some cheese pizza. And that was the hint. It was like, let's get the illegal shit up here before, the feds and the mods come cracking down on us. And so when people saw pizza in the Podesta emails, they're like, oh, they're speaking in our code, which why would pedophiles have a universal code for anything? Why would the Podesta people be using the same code as the 4chan people? And very importantly, they're not using the same code because nowhere in the Podesta emails is there a reference to cheese pizza. It's only pizza, which like a decade or so later did become a code word for child pornography or and stuff like that. But that's only because of the nature of how language evolves. It was not a code word back when it happened. But now, sometime in the 2020s, some arrest happened and the police were like, yeah, this guy said he was looking for pizza. And Liz Crokin's like, look, I'm vindicated. Pizza is a code word. It's like, you made it a code word, Liz. You did this. You're the one who twisted language to get to this point. So the pizza for an hour thing in the context of the emails makes no sense, because if it was John Podesta saying, hey, fellow sex trafficker, could you get me a child to abuse? The other child trafficker would say, sure thing, boss, no problem. And that's not what happens in the email chain. The other thing is that if you are the boss of a child sex trafficking network and you are abusing children, why are you specifically abusing a child for an hour? You'd be like, hey, send me a kid. People who are charged, people who are asking for an hour are Johns. They are people who are being charged for the services of a sex worker. which is also something that doesn't happen to children that are being trafficked. None of these words, none of the things that they're alleging make any sense in the context of what they are claiming. It's really ridiculous. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You highlight those words, you scream a lot, you look at the camera all bug-eyed, and you then post a bunch of images of controversial art that the Podestas may or may not have owned. I've never actually seen any links to the quote-unquote Podesta art that shows that they have these collections. But again, creepy art is bad, according to these people. And then you're like, boom, I got him. He's guilty. I mean, what else can you do? Look at the art. Look at the email. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. And it's just that. It's just this flailing, desperate effort to make you see something, to guilt by just projection. You're being like, hey, this looks bad. This has to be something wrong happening here. The word I was looking for was implication. I finally found it. Thank you, stupid brain. Way to get there for me. The other email that I wanted to bring up, and this is my favorite email in the chain because it's so dishonest, is an email that states that the Obamas spent $65,000 on hot dogs. And the reason why this is so dishonest is because it has actually nothing to do with the Podesta emails or anyone of those people. The Podesta emails are one hack. This is a different hack entirely from a company called Stratford, which associates itself as kind of being like one of these, we'll help you get where you're going with detailed market analytics and prediction models and blah, 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 all that kind of happy horse shit. And obviously WikiLeaks or someone hacked them. Someone hacked them, got the information to WikiLeaks, and WikiLeaks is like, boom, we'll just publish this shit because what do we care? We'll just throw everything. We'll throw anything up on the internet. And what happens is there was a email chain, and the email chain begins, get ready for Hot Dog Friday. And that was it. And it's just a fun little thing. And the first email is from Don Kendall, and it says, get ready for Chicago Hot Dog Friday. To celebrate all you hot dogs out there, Eric, you can participate as well. So Eric got a shout out and a bit of a razzle dazzle here. And the reply to this is from Fred Burton. And his reply is, I think Obama spent $65,000 of the taxpayers' money flying in pizza dogs from Chicago for a private party at the White House not long ago. Assume we are using the same channels. Now, the first thing about this is that Fred Burton is very obviously making a comment about wasteful liberal spending. That is why the term taxpayers' money is in the email, because that's what you say when you're a conservative and you're pissing and moaning about liberals just throwing away money all left and right. Socialism's great until you run out of other people's money to spend and all that kind of stuff. All the stuff that these people say in these situations. And the last thing about that always makes me laugh is the fact that he says, assume we are using the same channels, which if we're going by the context of Fred Burton saying, hey, remember when Obama sex trafficked all those kids? I assume that we are doing some sex trafficking now. So in order to believe in Pizzagate, you have to believe that Fred Burton is implicating himself and Stratford as being a nexus of child trafficking. And again, Fred Burton has nothing to do with the Podesta campaign or the Democrats. Fred is a conservative lawyer who worked in the Texas state government under Governor Perry on, I don't know if he was in his cabinet or he was on some board or one or another, but the man is not and has never been someone that was in Democratic politics. And the way they frame this email, whenever Pizzagaters talk about it, they'll tell you none of that. They'll just put that $6,500 out there and they'll just be like, there's, they ordered $6,500 worth of hot dog and pizza. They make it sound like some DNC apparatchik is like complaining to their higher ups. Guys, we got a big hole in our budget because Obama spent so much money trafficking all these kids, which would be hilarious if that was a thing that wasn't an email chain. But it's not, because again, this has nothing to do with them. This is a lie. It, everything about it is a lie. And yet, like, anytime this stuff gets any attention, anytime anyone brings up Pizzagate, boom, the Fred Burton email is thrown out there immediately. And it's like, look, they admit it. They ordered $6,500 worth of pizza and hot dogs. And the last thing I'll bring up about this is that this story is Fred misremembering the controversy, because the actual controversy was Obama wanted some authentic deep dish pizza and he wanted a chef to make it for him. So they flew the chef in. And the big controversy was that the chef was from St. Louis and not Chicago. So Obama had betrayed his roots by going to some foreign invader instead of a true Chicagonian to make him his deep dish. So that was the actual taxpayer money waste spend, was getting this chef flown in to make Obama some pies. It was not the pies themselves. So that is your Pizzagate kind of 101 thing. And the other reason why this is coming up now is because the Epstein emails are coming out and they're talking about food, and that means code, and that means that it's all a big connected bullshit thing, which it's not. It's not at all. Calm down. You're wrong. You're all wrong. Like, people are freaking out now about jerky. Jerky is a word in the Epstein files. We'll get into more of that when we do the regular pod. But I promise you, food is just food. And if it's not food and it is a code, guess what? It's Epstein's code exclusively. Pedophiles do not have the pedophile food code network. Like, Dom Lucre and the other freaks like him that are putting C-scam on the internet. Like, they're downloading stuff, and then like they get a text message from some guy like, "Hey man, you're a new pedophile. Welcome to the pedophile network." And Dom is like, "Oh shit, I didn't know there was a network." And the guy's like, "Yeah, it's a network. And by the way, we have a universal code for our crimes, and here's the code. I'm gonna give it to you so you can also use it." Because that's how reality works. That's what happens in the real world, and not in the world full of brainworm-filled lunatics that we have running around screaming about $65,000 worth of hot dogs and pizza for an hour, and Epstein liking some beef jerky and all the rest of it. So I hope this was a little insightful, a little interesting, a little entertaining, and I'll try to get the rest of the Pizzagate segments up for you guys to look at as well. Have a good weekend. Have a good week. Follow the show. Recommend it. Tell everyone how great we are. Patreon.com/PokerPolitics. Throw some money in my tip jar. Make things easier for me. I would appreciate that very much. If you don't want to do that, go to love146.org and donate to them to help them actually fight human trafficking, because that's a thing that matters and is important. Thanks to DJ Minimal Effort and Frosty for the bumps and the music that I accidentally remixed. Thank you all for listening, and never forget that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone in the assassination of President Kennedy.